I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864 Seasons.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDrivesChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
We are so back right here on the Packaday Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining us today. I want to pick up that Shamar Stewart conversation again in our third segment today. So I want to hear from you based on what we kind of went over. See somebody that you are would be excited about if Green Bay got, somebody that could add to that pass rush. Are you worried about the lack of production? Somebody that, again, would maybe be this trait-based player, but you would not have interest in bringing him to the team because of the lack of production. Love to hear from you. Nicolay Lawfan, talking text line 414-677-1250. You can text in, you can call us. I would love to hear your thoughts on Shamar Stewart. A reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Scott Grodzki is going to be joining at 10 a.m. talking about that big Bucks win from last night. Of course, Brewers won as well. We'll talk about that a little bit, maybe in segment three also. But I want to get to our good friend, Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Wisco Grant. Grant, it is wonderful to be chatting with you here. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
This is great, Andy. You were on my show a couple weeks ago, and this is the dynamic that I prefer. You need to be the one asking the questions. I don't know how to handle myself when the tables are turned the other way.
See, I was going to say the opposite. I was just going to hand over the show to you and say, do you want to interview me? And we'll just redo what we did a couple weeks ago. I was just maybe going to have you play the show. That'd be easier for both of us. But no, it is great to be chatting with you. I'm excited to talk to you specifically about some of these rules, some of the rules that changed yesterday, some that didn't. I would love to hear your thoughts on those. Before we get there, I did talk a lot about Shamar Stewart in the first segment. I know you've had the opportunity to kind of look at him a little bit and just kind of see some of the upside, but also know that the production has not been there. I want to get your side of this. Is this somebody that you would be interested in, or are you just done with the entire, all right, we don't need another prospect or project type player. I want somebody who can come in and make an impact right away.
Well, they definitely could use someone to come in and make an impact right away, but I'm not convinced that that's not Shamar Stewart.
I'm with you.
I don't know that his production is quite as limited. Like, everyone's making him out to be like a backup, like a guy who's all tools but barely played. Like, I don't know. I don't think that fully. And I listened to your lead, and it was excellent. If Shamar Stewart's there at 23, I'd be more than happy to take him. No, I'm gonna like have that Lucas Van Ness, projecty, toolsy, maybe concern in the back of my mind. But you're gonna have that with every draft pick, right? Really,
yep.
Really, the only hesitance that I have around Shamar Stewart is so I have a means to argue with another Packers podcaster on Twitter every time it comes up, just because I like fighting on the internet. If Shamar Stewart's the pick at 23, I think they could do a lot worse, and it would certainly probably be a nice shot in the arm to the pass rush, and they definitely need that.
I think he's going to end up being one of my favorite options at pick 23. I want to go over a handful more of these picks to before I kind of get to that point. But number one, like I said, I think he's going to be gone by pick 23. And number two, if he is there, I think Green Bay is going to sprint that card to the table, and I would be excited for it overall. But Grant, like I said, I want to talk to you about some of these rule changes that that we heard about yesterday and some that did not go through. I want to start with a new kickoff rule. They moved the touchback from the 30 to the 35. The idea here is that they are incentivizing returns and not just kicking it through the end zone. And teams seemed very much fine with, all right, yep, you can, we'll just take the, or you can have the ball at the 30 yard line and we're good with that. I do think this has the potential to change that dynamic now that it's the 35 and that we could theoretically see some more returns. Your thoughts on the change to the kick return rule?
I think most people did too. A lot of people hated the dynamic kickoff rule last year. And when I say a lot of people, I guess I'm talking about other sports talk radio hosts and people who call sports talk radio. So maybe that's not the best gauge, but like,
I think you're right,
people,
though.
Yeah, generally, like everyone hated it. And based on what I hear, most people hated it because it looked weird and it looked different. Which, hey, like there's worse reasons to hate something, I suppose. It just didn't really bother me that much. Like, okay, it looks a little different, whatever. It mostly kind of felt like the old kickoff. Like, it didn't really feel like there was that big of a material change, other than it looked different, which I think I'm in the minority. I don't really care about that much. So continue to tweak, continue to work on it. I like that the NFL, probably more so than other leagues, is willing to make a little change here, to make a tweak here, and to not stop trying to improve, especially that part of the game where it kind of feels like, I don't know, it's not obsolete, but it feels like teams hurt themselves on that play a lot more than, you know, actually make hay. Like, it seems a penalty or an injury or turnover is much more likely than any positive outcome. So I like any tweak or change that could tilt that scale just a little bit, and I'm glad that the NFL is continuing to work on it because I think it needs it.
I'm right there with you. I think they are trying their best to basically save this play. I mean, you kind of, it feels like we're going to kick off the season. Like, kickoff is such a thing that's ingrained in the NFL. Like, you kick off the game, like you have the, and if you don't have a kickoff, it's just like, all right, we're just going to have the team start at what, the 25 yard line or something. It would feel weird. I'm not necessarily against that, but I can tell that the NFL is trying everything in their power to save this play that has been a staple in the NFL for forever, that you've had a lot of injury concerns and concussion concerns with. So there's been needed to make some changes. And it got to the point again, from a strategy standpoint, where teams are just like, all right, we get at the 20. All right, we're just going to kick it to the end zone. Oh, it's going to be the 25. All right, we're just going to kick it through the end zone. Oh, it's going to be the 30. We're just going to kick it through the end zone. Like, and now the NFL saying, is it the 35? We don't think you're just going to kick it through the end zone. We think we're going to see more returns. We think we found a way to make it safer. And I'm all for, if we can actually get to this point where we actually bring back strategy to the kick return, and having a good kick returner adds value, and the difference is, you know, you're pinned within your own 25, or you can actually have a quote unquote dynamic return that gets you to the 30, 35, 40 yard line. I do think that has the ability to be a bit of a game changer, and I am for that, and I'm excited that they're trying to tweak this to get it back to that point.
Well, and it heightens end-of-game situations, right? Like, if, let's say, the Packers are driving to kick a field goal to take the lead, or to score a touchdown to take a lead, or to tie the game at the end, and there's 16 seconds left in the game, and now they got to kick off, right? These new kickoff rules make it a lot more realistic that the other team could receive a kickoff, and just within a big play or two, be right back in field goal range. So I think that's, you know, outside of the kickoff play itself, which I think could use improvement, these rule changes are, I don't know, keeping the game more winnable, I guess, for both sides, because it's not out of the realm of possibility at the end of the game. If you need a last-second field goal, well, if you play your hand right on the kickoff, you could be right there on the doorstep, right at midfield almost, kind of knocking on field goal range. So that's bigger picture, but I think that's a big impact, let's say, of any potential rule changes as well.
And when you've got a Brandon Aubrey in Dallas that's kicking at like a billion-yard field goal, it's like, if you just kick and give it to him at the 35, like you're a play or two away from being in field goal range already. So I think there is going to be a bit more strategy, and I am all for that. All right, here's a three-parter for you, Grant, or at least a question that has potential three answers. Which is worse, the tush-push, the tush-push conversation, or the fact that the Packers are the team that were the ones that proposed the ban of the tush push? What has been more insufferable for you of those three things?
This is a personal answer. This is me. I'm not expecting others to feel this way. This is just my opinion. I hate the tush push.
Okay.
And I'm proud to be a Packers fan and owner and stand behind Mark Murphy and my team leading the charge, because if you look at the reporting of Kalen Kaler, and it's not that difficult to kind of find some details if you want him about how certain teams feel this way, there's a lot of teams that agree with the Packers. I think a lot of teams are scared. They don't want to come across like losers or like whiners, or, you know, if you can't stop it, then try to ban it. Okay, it's human nature. I get that. I don't like the tush-push, and it's a matter of personal taste. Colin Cowherd years ago, when they changed the extra point from whatever it was, 22 yards, whatever it is now, I don't know, numbers don't stick in my brain. He said, the NFL hates automatic things. The NFL will try to do away with any type of play that makes you go, oh, okay, I don't have to watch this. I can go into the kitchen, or I can... And the tush-push has kind of become that. It also feels a little high school football-ish. My senior year, I never played football, never played flag football, never played middle school, high school, never did. But I followed my friends who played, and I watched the team my senior year, and I remember they played Somerset. It's a team kind of over by River Falls, the western portion of the state. And I read a newspaper story, because I was that kid, about how the coach at Somerset, very successful, had a sign in the weight room that said 4 times 3 equals 12. And the point was, if we just pick up 3 yards, first down, second down, we can keep moving the change. Yeah, it's the most boring product in the world, though. You know, it's one thing in high school when you're limited in talent and numbers and these are kids, but this is the NFL. So I want them to get rid of it. And it's just a matter of taste. I don't know any of the player health ramifications. I don't know. And for everyone saying that this is sour grapes on the Packers' behalf, the tush push was far from their biggest issue in that playoff game. It's not like that's what decided the thing. The Packers couldn't score. The tush push was also this random side note. So I don't think it's that bad of a look for the Packers. I understand some others may feel differently. That's why sports talk is fun.
It very much is. We're being joined by Grant Bill, Wisco Sports Show, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Wisco Grant. I think the thing that I'm most upset about is that we just don't have an answer, that they pushed this out another couple months. Yeah. I guess it's good for talk show, you know, talk and whatnot, but I just wanted a resolution. I have no horse in this race. I do not care if they ban it. I do not care if they keep it. I don't care if they tweak it. I really don't care. I just want to see some sort of resolution, and I kind of don't want to talk about it anymore. And I would just like to see them make a decision. And the fact that they just tabled this until May now, I'm just like, oh my God, that's like the worst of all of the worlds. Just give me an answer one way or the other and let's move on. But instead they're going to push this out. I have a feeling they're going to tweak the verbiage. I think they're going to ban sort of the tush pushing from behind again. I think like the crammed offensive line with the QB sneak is still going to be there, but I think they're going to make it so that they can't actually push from behind. And we'll see that ultimately matters if it changes things. I don't know, but I'm just ready to be done talking about it. Let's talk about overtime. That's another one that they did in fact tweak. And this now has the ability to be a situation where the team does get the ball. Even if the first team that gets the ball scores a touchdown, the second team has the opportunity to get it. However, there is 10 minutes on the clock, and there is no extension of that. Meaning if the first team goes down and takes all 10 minutes off the clock and kicks a field goal as time expires, the second team does not get that rebuttal. But assuming that there is time left on the clock, even if the first team scores a touchdown, the second team does have the ability to go down and rebuttal and have that touchdown. So I like this rule change. I think it does come with a bit of strategy. I was talking about this with Tommy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
our producer yesterday of, do you want the ball first or do you want it second? I think in an ideal world, you'd like it second to see what the first team does. And so that you know exactly what you need to do. Plus you get all four downs, so that you go for it if you need to go for it and those sort of things. Or, you know, are you worried about, hey, we might not get the ball back if the team chews away the entire 10 minutes of that clock or enough of it that we can't, you know, go down and score right away. So your thoughts on the new overtime rules and how the strategy could potentially play out for that.
I just don't think there's a perfect resolution for NFL overtime. I just think no matter what we do, we're always going to be chasing our tail a little bit. And part of that's the fun in sports, right? Like, I don't know that any of these leagues or these sports, or the way that teams are built or bought or paid for, I don't think that any of this is ever going to be perfected. Leagues are going to always be trying to adjust to this, that, or the other thing. I just don't think that we're ever going to get to an overtime in the NFL where everyone says, this is perfect, and it's equitable for both sides, and the game doesn't go any longer than it needs to, and there's not too many reviews, and there's not too many timeouts. Like, I just don't think we're ever going to get there. So it feels like every 2 or 3 years, they make a tweak to overtime as a response to a game or to a result or to something that happened or, you know, something in the CBA or whatever. And I don't know. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter to me. I don't like the idea of an overtime where one team could very well try to possess the ball for 10 minutes or as many of those minutes as possible. I don't know that that's going to make a great product, but I don't know. Like, I definitely feel like both teams should also try to get a crack at it. Like, I don't want sudden death, and I definitely don't want college because that can go on forever and it feels kind of arcadey. So I guess my take is I don't really have a take, because I feel like it'll probably change before too long, and then we'll come up with a new set of complaints only to change it again down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's perfectly said, especially at the onset of that, of like, there's not going to be something that makes everyone happy. I think somebody, there's going to be a portion of the fan base that's upset almost no matter what. I do feel like this is a really sort of interesting kind of fun middle ground where I think especially in the regular season, you're kind of concerned about like, hey, we don't need these regular season games going an extra, you know, huge amount of time. And I think the 10 minutes is a nice limiting factor to kind of make sure, right, that it's not going an extra 45 minutes or something crazy, especially if you get to some of these night games and late games and things like that. I do think it now gives the opportunity for the opposing team to get the ball. I mean, you have 10 minutes plus two timeouts plus a 2 minute warning. I'm sorry, if the other team runs out the 10 minutes and kicks a field goal at that point, like typically you don't deserve the ball back. You have zero complaint. You cannot be like, well, it wasn't fair. We didn't get the ball. You have every right to blame yourself in that situation for allowing 10 minutes plus two timeouts and a 2 minute warning to go off the clock and them getting the field goal and everything else. You deserve to lose in that situation. Meanwhile, if the other team, just by getting the ball first, happens to go down and immediately score a touchdown, yes, you could say, well, they shouldn't have allowed the touchdown, but they were the other team that got the ball first. This could be one of those games where it's like both teams are great offenses. Now the second team does have the opportunity to go down. And what better drama? You're down by 7. You have to go down and score. And then do you go for 2 if you get it? Like, it to me, it adds value to it. I think there's strategy involved in it. I think this, for me, comes closest to, I like all aspects of it, and I'm excited to see how it works out, and I'm excited to see some of the strategy with it.
And I think that's a perfect framing, right? You find a middle ground between two different versions of overtimes. You think both teams get a chance. Look, I prefer this to sudden death, because one team can, you know, a defender can fall down. You can get hosed on a bad penalty. The team scores a touchdown, and the game's over. Like, I don't want that. But I think you're right. You know, the more that I listen to you hash that out, if you let a team possess the ball on you for 10 minutes through two timeouts and a 2 minute warning, then I don't really want to hear it from you or your fans. So I think that's a perfect middle ground. There'll probably be little things that we find to complain about, but that's also fun. Like, I don't know that I want to watch a sport that doesn't give me something to complain about. I think that's part of why we like doing this.
The NFL has mastered the art of having the right amount of controversy in the game, whether it's a bad call or a poor rule or something. Like, we still don't exactly know how to define a catch in 2025 and some of these things. And it's the right amount of like, I'm going to be mad at you, but I'm still absolutely tuning in to Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the football we can possibly get, while still in the back of my mind being like, can you just figure out a way to make this a little bit better? And it's exactly all the controversy that makes this so much fun. In the meantime, we're being joined by Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show, Packaday Podcast as well. Just a couple other quick ones. Just your overarching thoughts. They expanded replay assist. They did not change the playoff seeding. They did not change the defensive holding / illegal contact penalties, and have made no changes to the onside kick as of yet. Any overarching thoughts on any of those? Any hot takes?
Well, I want to go back to what the onside kick used to be, a surprise onside kick. I mean, that's just the best. So I kind of hate that we neutered that last year. I'm sure there are reasons. And who's to say they won't bring it back in a year or two, right? All these things are cyclical in the league, and it's a good thing. The league's always making changes and trying things. I'm fine with not reseeding in the playoffs because I think what goes around comes around. For every time, like, if you're consistently in the playoff hunt, if you're a team that finds good quarterbacks, hires good coaches, spends money, builds a good team, I think you will occasionally get in when you maybe shouldn't, or you'll be a beneficiary of a good seed when maybe you don't deserve it. And then, you know, every once in a while, you're also going to, you know, maybe get boned a little bit. Like, it balances out, right? So if you make the playoffs once every 50 years, but you're in a good division, well, like, the problem isn't that the seeding metrics are out to get to you. It's that you make the playoffs once every 50 years, and that one time your division happened to be good, so now you have sour grapes. So I still like the importance on winning the division. I'm glad that they didn't change that. I want fewer flags, so whatever we can do to achieve that. I also prefer fewer replays. But this is what's tough, Andy, right? Like, I'm not someone who's against replay, you know, as a matter of course. Like, I think sometimes you need replay. It's really difficult to find the balance of when it's needed and when it's not. I think there's a necessary amount of replay, but I'd really like to limit it as much as possible. Like, do we really need to open it to things like a missed face mask or a miss that, like, I just think you're playing with fire and you're really making your game slower and more of a slog and harder to watch. So I'm not anti-replay, but I also don't want to get carried away with it. So I really kind of cheer against the expansion of replay and replay assist every year at this time.
Yeah, to me, the replay assist does seem to expedite some of those changes where they're getting it right and they're making it instantaneous, which I do like that aspect of it. But I also, you know, the more that we look at stuff, the more then when stuff does go wrong, it's like, well, why didn't we get this right? And it just, there's, again, I think this is one of those other middle grounds where, like, you're trying your best to make it perfect, but it can just never, ever be perfect. And either the game takes too long. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say on that expedited review really quickly, I'll be expeditious. The thing about it that bothers me is, like, they only use it sometimes. And last year, they got it wrong, and Matt LaFleur had to challenge the play. So that's weird. It's like, so every once in a while, we won't make the coach challenge it. But sometimes we will. Like, that's why I get the expedited review. It's fast, and it avoids replay. But, like, the process of it also just seems so random, and there doesn't seem to be much rhyme or reason behind it. That's my problem.
That is totally fair. And hopefully they can make some of those tweaks and adjustments so that it does not get to that point. Grant, before we get you out of here, one last question. The Packers, obviously, we're in the midst of draft season. What to you is the actual need for the Packers of what they need to accomplish in this draft, no matter what?
Well, and I talked about this yesterday on both of the shows that I'm on our network. Like, I think they've built a really nice base just about everywhere. I don't think they have any gaping weaknesses. I don't think they have any position groups that are terrible. They need a special player at wide receiver, and they need a special player at edge rusher. I believe a little bit more in the internal development of players like Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks than I do in Lucas Van Ness or in some big leap from Rashawn Gary. So if I have to cross my fingers and close my eyes and hope for internal production, I think it's a better hope at wide receiver. So I think an edge rusher, and I think it's got to be someone high in the draft who can come in right away. So I was hoping that that'd be a need that they addressed in free agency or with a trade, say with wide receiver. I think a lot of Packers fans felt that way. But now we turn to the draft, and I think pick 23 is going to have a ton of eyeballs on it because the Packers don't need to rebuild any position groups like they've done with safety last year, wide receiver the year before, tight end. They just kind of need one or two cherries on top. And the odds would tell you that that cherry is probably most likely to be found at 23. So I think this is Goody's first round pick that's going to be under the most scrutiny a while. And it'll be interesting in the draft is in Green Bay, the boot. So if you can get a special player at either one of those position groups in the first round of the draft, I think the offseason is a big success.
They are due to nail their first round pick. Yeah. So, and with it being in Green Bay, hopefully this is the year, would be a ton of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Grant, tell us all about the Wisco Sports Show and anything else you want to plug on the way out.
Yeah, the Wisco Sports Show 4-6 on affiliates in Madison and La Crosse and Eau Claire up in Marinette, Menominee Marinette too. But if you follow me on Twitter at Wisco Grant or look up the show's Facebook page or YouTube page, just search the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills that live streams every night, evening drive from 4-6. It's a blasting app. So would love to have you come and take a ton of calls. And right now we're mostly screaming about the Brewers, but if the Brewers don't start playing a little bit better, I know they won last night, we'll probably do a lot more draft talk than I normally do every year. So that's something that listeners can look forward to.
Does that mean I'm cheering against the Brewers so I get more draft talk? That feels weird. But no, I'm excited to hear no matter what you're talking about, Grant. You're the absolute best. Follow him on social media at Wisco Grant. We'll do this again soon. Thanks so much for your time, friend.
Thank you, Andy. Have a great show. Great day.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you a ton. That was Grant Bills. You can find him again on social media at Wisco Grant. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.